to be in orbit.
Meet David Pierce, a man whose life has been a series of extraordinary encounters, all of them blurring the lines of reality itself. From witnessing UFOs chased by fighter jets as a child, to encountering a massive, rotating cylinder in the sky as an adult, David's story is filled with moments that defy explanation. Vivid, recurring, inexplicable phenomena have left him with questions that demand answers. Who are they? What do they want? And the most unsettling question of all, are they following him? Join us as we unravel the mysteries that have haunted David for decades and ask yourself, is everyone truly ready for this truth? And now, onto the episode with David Pierce.
Hi, my name's David Pierce. I'm a father, husband, and from a little town called Maesteg, which is about 9 miles north of Bridgend, South Wales. Fairly typical childhood growing up, which led to me having my first strange sighting. As kids, we always used to sort of go outside, play in the yard, and it was very dark. It was autumn time. I think it was about November-ish. And I always remember seeing three points of light in the sky in a triangle formation, just slowly rotating on their axis. So it was like three points of light just moving around its center. And this phenomena has been on and off in my family since those days, basically. And I'm, 51 years old now? During my early years, I used to have this reoccurring nightmare. I'd be led through a corridor, and this corridor would have curved walls, and the floor would be like sheet metal, absolutely flat, no details in the floor. But the left wall looked organic and wet. I couldn't move. I know that there was someone to my left and someone to my right, but I couldn't see them. Now, the right side of the wall was filled with light. All different colors, all different types of light. And the ceiling, again, was like the floor. It was sheet metal, or looked like sheet metal. It's totally smooth. And we'd get to the end of this corridor, and it would be like a doorway. It's almost like I wasn't walking, but I was like moving along this corridor on my tiptoes. And I would just go over the edge of this doorway and find myself just floating in space, feeling like I'm going to fall any second. And this big bright light would open up in front of me with big streamers coming off the center of light. And I'd wake up on my left side, always my left side, in a fetal position with like an electric, numbing sort of pins and needles feeling from my face to my toes, down one side of my body. And I'd always wake up screaming and crying and, you know, and this would happen regularly, you know, on a very regular basis. To this day, I'm 51 years old, and that dream that I used to have when I was, you know, anywhere from 6 up to 8, because it went on for quite some time, has stuck with me all these years, and it's the only reoccurring dream I have ever had. The next major thing that I experienced was in school. When I was in junior school, I must have been about 10 years old at this stage. I'd say it was autumn time because the sycamore seeds were leaving the trees and we were being picked for football. And I was always one of the last to be picked because I was always, you know, one of the bigger kids for my age. So yeah, I was just hanging off the railings. We'd all sort of like hang off the railings and the captains would pick you for their team. So my friend Wayne, who's one of the football captains, one of my fellow pupils, again, 10 years old, he starts looking up and, you know, he starts pointing, and not just him, but there was about 10 or 11 other people also looking up and pointing. And they were all saying, look at the spaceship, look at the UFO, look at the flying saucer. That's what they were saying back then. Look at the flying saucer, there's a spaceship. I flipped around like this. And right in my line of sight there, all I can describe it as is if you took two dinner plates and joined them top to top and looked at it from the side, like a disc from the side, it must have been about 50 feet high at maximum half a mile away, maximum distance, working it out now. It went from an instant, went from a dead stop hover to instant speed and disappeared around the back of the mountain into the next valley over. Now, we're from a town called Maesteg. Next valley over is the Avon Valley. And there's a low-lying mountain that separates the two valleys. This thing, instantly, I mean, literally, it moved and it was behind that mountain in about half a second. It went straight from a dead stop, foop, and away. I turned around to say to Wayne, did you see that? He said, yes. I looked back to see two RAF Jaguars, and I know they were Jaguars, come tearing across the sky at the same altitude as this thing. They were below mountain level, that's how low they were, and they were screaming along. And these two jets just went behind the mountain, clearly chasing this thing. And my mind was blown. I was excited, you know, and at the time, you know, it was like, oh my God, the excitement was like overwhelming. So a bunch of us got together. We went over to see a teacher, but he just turned around and dismissed it out of hand. He just said, look, you didn't see that. You saw a plane. You didn't hear it because the wind is blowing the other way. Now, even at 10 years old, that sounded so ludicrous to me because we heard the other two planes. And I did say that to him. Well, we heard the other two planes, but he wouldn't have it. He didn't want to know. He just dismissed it out of hand. I mean, we all turned around and said, well, we know what we saw. You know, even at 10 years old, we were like, well, we saw what we saw. You know, this thing is in broad daylight. It wasn't a fuzzy light. It was close. It was a structured object. And it's been chased by two fighter jets. And that stuck with me for a while, that. I was like, well, you know, if that's a response you're going to get, what's the point, you know? I was 19 years old when I saw something strange next. And my brother, Andrew, he came running up the street one night like a lunatic. And he was banging the front door. He wasn't knocking the front door. I thought the front door was going to come off of the hinges, to be honest with you. So I ran downstairs thinking someone was chasing him or he was in danger or something, you know, and he opened the door. Dave, come with me. So I ran down the street and we saw this large orange object making its way across the sky, and it went right the way down the valley. No noise, no navigation lights, no FAA lights, no variation in its altitude or anything. It was just a straight shot down the valley. And it wasn't burning up or anything. It didn't look like a meteorite to us. And it was literally just making its way down the valley until it went over the mountain and out of sight. During that time, strange things are starting to happen around the house as well. I suppose you could call it poltergeist activity, I guess, because things would move, or glass would smash on the counter, or you hear footsteps upstairs, but there was never anybody there. But one night, I just settled down to go to sleep. I was lying on my right side. I had my hands tucked up like this and by the pillow. I literally was about to close my eyes and go to sleep. And I felt this grip around my wrist, take my arm and pull my arm out from underneath me so violently, it nearly pulled me out of the bed. I jumped up in bed, I sat up with my hands up, thinking somebody had got in. As I did this, a poster just went off the wall. It threw itself, it literally just violently came off the wall, and all the bottles I'd put out on the side unit were tipped over like something was running past and knocking them over. To say I was unnerved is an understatement. That night I got up, I checked the house, I went downstairs, I checked every window, every door, And nothing. Everything was locked. Everything was secure. No sign of anybody being there. So I just sat downstairs. I popped the TV on and I thought, right, okay. And I was literally awake then for the next 24 hours. It was very unnerving. There was a physical aspect to this that I couldn't pin down. I wasn't sleeping. I know I wasn't dreaming. And to see that happen right in front of me really shook me up. My brother was also having his experiences. In the house, he'd be seeing shadowy figures. He would be woken up at night with a choking feeling like something is on his neck. And he'd open his eyes and see a silhouette, and it would totally terrify him. And this had happened quite regularly. You start questioning your own sanity, really. After living in that bed set for about 6 months, I moved back out. Nothing really significant happened from that period of time until, I want to say, 2005. 2005 is a pretty significant year for me. I was 31 years old. I was working in as an IT technician, and I was based in a small office in Taft's Well, which is just outside of Cardiff. And I'll never forget this day. I'd started driving into work early. I always used to go into work early to try and avoid the rush hour traffic. It was very foggy that day. Extremely foggy. I mean, you were driving through mist all the way down the M4 to where I worked. So traffic wasn't moving very fast. So I got to the library, sat down. Must have been about, I'd say, close to 9 o'clock in the morning at this point. There were kids all around me, 12-year-old kids, all working on their computers. All of a sudden, I see at the corner of my eye this dark shape moving through the clouds. It was an angular sort of shape. It was. It looked like almost looked like a diamond from the way I was looking at it as it was coming through the clouds. So I thought, that's interesting. What's that? You know, I thought, well, it's misty day. Is someone hot air ballooning? Is someone up there in a microlight? I was trying to listen. And right in my line of sight, you could have drawn a line right in front, in the middle of my eyes, dead in front of me. This cylinder came through the clouds very slowly. Whatever this thing was massive. And it was slowly rotating like this. And where it had broken through the clouds, sunlight was coming in from above, and it was sparkling on the hull of this thing, which looked, it almost looked paneled. It looked really strange, but it looked metal and it looked paneled. And it kept coming down lower and lower. And as it's coming down, I'm thinking to myself, is it this? Is it this? Is it this? I was going through all these explanations in my head. I was looking for a basket underneath. Is there a balloon? Is it? No, it's not. What I'm looking at is a solid metal cylinder of huge proportions breaking through the clouds right in front of me while I'm sat in this library. It came down to about 15 degrees above the roof of these houses. I honestly thought it was going to come down. I thought it was going to land. I thought, yep, today's the day. And then it sort of leaned over to its right, continued to rotate, and slowly ascended back into the clouds and disappeared. The whole thing must have taken about 8 seconds from start to finish. I didn't have a camera phone on me. I had no cameras. I wasn't about to start jumping up and down in the middle of a school library screaming UFO when I'm surrounded by 12-year-old kids, or I'd end up on the news that night. When I witnessed this, it made me feel so insignificant. It made me feel so emasculated. It terrified me. I mean, we're talking, the portion I saw below the clouds must have been at least 75 feet in length, judging by the height of the houses and the angle. But I saw it above the roof of the houses. But you could see it went on and on and on into the clouds. And this thing was massive. Try and think of an oil tanker, like a ship, oil tanker ship. That sort of size in the sky. It terrified me. I thought I'm either having some sort of episode, a brain embolism, oh, I'm seeing what I'm seeing. You know, and I saw it as clear as looking at you now, Dan, or looking at my car. You know, there's no issue as to what it could have been. It was a cylinder. It was clear as day. I could see the paneling on it. You know, there were details on it I could see, you know, and the sun was sparkling off the surface of this thing as it was rotating. I ran downstairs, I got my phone out to phone my wife. I was shaking on the phone while I was talking to her. That's how badly it affected me. I phoned my mum, told her the same thing, and both of them were quite surprised at my reaction. They said, well, we thought you'd have been pleased, you know, of seeing this sort of thing. And I was like, no, it terrified me. You know, excuse the pun, but what I was looking at was so alien to me. It didn't make any sense. There was no lifting bodies, no propulsion. This thing was just, it was moving as if it was like a cork on water, you know, that type of movement. It was graceful. There was no struggle. It was like as if, yeah, no problem. I'm here. I own the atmosphere, whatever, you know, it just did its own thing. And the way it did it, you know, it just unnerved me. And all I could think about is I'm working too far from home here. I need to be close to home. It really triggered that sort of flight or flight in me. So badly, actually, that for the next 6 nights, I didn't sleep. I was awake for 6 nights straight. It was a real humbling moment for me. I've grown up in my stag. I've been in a lot of scrapes, you know, none of it my choosing. But, you know, I've seen my fair share of strife and stuff, you know, I've got the scars to prove it. But I have never been so frightened by something my entire life. To this day, nothing has affected me like that. I haven't had anything happen for a while now. I haven't seen anything. So they've either got bored with me or, you know, I'm past it now or whatever, you know. But again, I am not convinced what it was we experienced. All I know is that I'm just a normal person who's had really abnormal experiences. And that's all I know. And I really want the truth to come out about this, you know, for validation, for clarity, you know, even if we just get confirmation and not disclosure, just to confirm that something is engaging with us. But it changed my life. You know, it's changed the way I look at everything. You know, it's really hard walking around knowing that these strange things are happening and having wider society, you know, stigmatize you for it and, you know, look down at you for it. I mean, whenever I have sort of mentioned something along those lines, you can practically hear the eyes rolling in people's heads, you know, especially in the UK. So I'm just hoping that things are changing for the better. This is why I'm speaking out as well. I think it's important that people speak out now and lend their voice, because eventually we'll have a chorus and then eventually people will have to take you seriously.
Thank you for joining us to travel through the incredible and mysterious life of David Pearce, a man whose experiences with the unexplained challenge the boundaries of our understanding. David reminded us that curiosity is the compass that guides us through the unknown, and courage helps us to walk a path of discovery. Not everyone wants these experiences, but some steel themselves and look right into the abyss for answers anyway. Whether you're a skeptic or a seeker, let David's journey inspire you to question the ordinary, explore the extraordinary, and never stop searching for the truth. Thank you for joining us. And remember, be curious. The universe is bigger than we know.
What It Means to Be Human is a Double Barrel production. This week's episode was produced by Roz Mugford and Dan Zetterstrom. Sound post-production by Parker Mosley, with technical support from Dale Mugford. Our theme music is by Thunderbird.